Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
To Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guest on the show will provide you on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, as you know, if you've been tuning in for the past 8 years, we have a plethora of people in show business. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. If they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you really great entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. And that means that we are definitely going to have someone on the show who will be able to help you with all of your show business career questions. You can listen or download any of our past shows by going to our archive page, which is located on the latalkradio.com website. So again, latalkradio.com website. And you just go to the Channel 1 link and there's a drop-down box and you just click our show title, which is Question Reality. And this takes you directly to our archive page. Now, our shows are also available to listen to for free on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com, and we're also on Google Play. So again, just type Question Reality Radio in the search box and you should be able to find us. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, you have to go to a completely different website, which is our official Question Reality website. And that address is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. We are, as you know, we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance, and we are full for the year. And we're starting to book now for January of 2017. So if you want to be considered as a guest for the show to promote yourself, your projects, and you're working professionally in the industry, please go to questionrealityradioshow.com and click the submit button, and we will take a look at ya, honey. We will look you over. I also encourage you to download our free app for the Android and the iPhone to be able to listen to all the other exciting, informative shows that are located on LA Talk Radio as well. So just go to the homepage of latalkradio.com, and the app is located towards the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. So just give a little scroll, because you don't want to miss any of these shows. Now, as always, we have an exciting guest today. Now, this man, if you got my social media post or you got one of the worldwide email blasts to let you know he's going to be on the show, I included a little picture of our guest today because this man is a hottie. He is scrumptious, gorgeous. I was like, oh, I'm glad my husband's not here because I turned his picture into my desktop wallpaper. His name is Mark Allen, and I want you to go to his website now. It's markallen.net, not .com. He snagged one of those .nets when they first came out. markallen.net, markallen.net. He is an actor and a voiceover artist, among many other things, a singer and a musician, and oh, he's so talented. We're going to try to talk to him about everything today, but right now, go to his website Again, markallen.net and check it out. I want to talk to you real quick about a free concert. You know, I'm into free, set them free. I love to announce free stuff. And there is a free concert happening. My friend, Christina Linhart. Oh my gosh, she is, not only is she beautiful, but she's so talented. She is going to be performing on Friday, July 29th at 7 p.m. And it's going to be at the Brand Library Plaza Series. And it's for the Celtic Consort of Hollywood. And again, that's the Brand Library Plaza Series, and that's on Mountain Avenue in Glendale. And the Celtic Consort of Hollywood, it consists of all of these award-winning concert and studio musicians. And Christina Linhart is going to be providing voice, and then also performing with her is a two-time Grammy winner, Susan Craig Winsberg on flute, and Karen Sykes will be on Celtic harp. And then together, what they do is they're going to be bringing their love of classical Baroque and Irish Celtic music to the Brand Library Plaza. Now, you know I'm Irish. You know, I usually have a cocktail and a shamrock here before each show. So I am promoting this. I'm going to go. I'm so excited. Please, it's free. What else are you going to do? Friday, it's perfect for a date night, actually. Friday, July 29th, 7 p.m. First date. Perfect. Don't have to spend a cent. Oh my goodness. Isn't that terrible? Shouldn't I be promoting $60 dinners for women, steak dinners for the man to pay for? I just can't do it. It's crazy. Okay. So performances are going to run 60 and 90 minutes without intermission. And again, it's the outdoor plaza. Take a picnic basket. Oh, it's going to be lovely. And these free performances are supported by the City of Glendale and Glendale Arts Culture Commission. So they're having this all throughout the summer. It's fantastic if you, again, want to take some friends, get a little group, and go. So Friday, June 29th, 7 p.m. If you want to find out more, the website is glendaleca.gov. Glendaleca.gov. And then you can pretty much figure out that it's the Library Arts Culture Commission, and it's Summer Sounds on the Plaza. So go there and get yourself scheduled for some fun, free music. And Christine Linhart, I have hired her for many of my functions, my charity functions, my film fundraising functions. She is fantastic. The woman is so brilliant. She's so talented. You're going to love her. Okay? So check it out. Now, let's get back to that little hottie we got on the show today. Let me tell you a little bit about Mark Allen. Now, Mark Allen has a recurring role on Showtime's new series called Roadies, and he has some wonderful stories to tell us from season one. I'm excited. Now, Mark started out in the entertainment industry as a radio disc jockey in San Diego, and that led to a career as a musician and a songwriter, as well as a very successful independent music producer publisher at BMI. So what happened was in 2014, Mark decided he wanted to pursue a career as a voiceover artist and an actor in the entertainment industry. He wanted to make the transition and follow a passion. So some of Mark's credits include commercials, internet-based new media work. He does audiobook narration, film and television work, and of course, voiceovers. And he has this recurring podcast called A Couple of Regular Guys. Now, if they all look as hot as him, I'm going to tune into the podcast, but I'm going to have to see. Mark, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, Priscilla, I'm telling you, that was amazing. Thank you for doing that. And I'm going to have to look into polygamy, because I think I'd want to marry you.
Add me to your list. Add me on, because I would be taking a dap at that, as the young kids say. Wow, no, you look really, honestly, you look really fantastic. You've kept yourself in great shape, which is very, very important. I would imagine, unfortunately, for some who can't do it, but you have been able to keep yourself looking like a million. Tell us. How important it is in this image-based industry to keep yourself looking as best you can. You know, as you get older, especially, Mark, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I didn't really take my health that seriously until I got back into this, and I saw all the healthy looking people that were walking around in Hollywood and, you know, parts unknown. And I just feel like it's important to keep yourself in shape. It's good for you in front of the camera. That whole adage about it adding 10 pounds is actually probably an understatement.
Yeah, it's more like, you know, 30.
Yeah, 30. Could be. Could be.
I see myself on camera. I got like 4 or 5 chins. My breasts are hanging down to Mexico. I'm like,
mine
what
too.
What the hell's going on with this camera? Yeah. The camera's not my friend. The camera's for these twiggy, skinny bitches. I'm not on camera. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, let me ask you, you started out as a DJ, and I actually wanted to be a DJ. I worked as an intern while I was in college at a local radio station called 92 Star WYST in Maryland. I loved it, even though seeing the DJ stuck in that little booth for 8 hours, I'm like, oh my God, that would drive me crazy. Can't I roam around and do my thing like the Pied Piper? So what type of radio station was it? Why did you leave? Give us the scoop.
Yeah, you know, I started out shortly out of high school working for, interning at a radio station, an AM radio station that was so far down the dial that, you needed an elevator to get to it. It was really, out there. It was a religious station.
Oh.
And, so I was doing I was paying my dues, just kind of working, building 4-track tapes and, you know, commercials and whatnot. I moved over to do some work on a San Diego station here, that is no longer around. That lasted for just a short bit of time. Everybody seems pretty crazy there. I ended up working on a syndicated show called Audioscope, and that was broadcast to different markets. I seem to enjoy that, but, you know, like you just said, you're sitting in a booth, and you have limited creativity. You have to figure out something to say between songs, but it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I know it's a whole different brand of person that can sit there and you know, sit in there for 4 or 5 hours and by themselves. It's like comedy in a vacuum in a way.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how people did it, because I mean, I have a friend, Mike Saccolariti, so I'm sure you're familiar with. He's a very famous kind of DJ here in LA. And I have been trying to book this man on my radio show for the whole 8 years that I've had the show. And unfortunately, he works on Sundays. They don't let him out of the booth. I mean, he does his, his remotes, and my God, it's like you're on reprieve from prison, I would imagine, when you do your remotes, for goodness sake. But I can see why you definitely didn't want to pursue that. But I understand that you were a musician as well. I think you play guitar, bass, ukulele, drums, and you sing. So I would imagine you started that at an early age, and you did this while you were an intern. Is that what kind of drove you to want to become, you know, executive in the industry? What did you do, actually?
Yeah.
You went on to become an executive. What did you do at BMI?
Okay, well, what I did, I was an independent producer that was affiliated with BMI. I wasn't with BMI per se. They didn't have me under an individual contract, but that's who I did business with. And that's where I got a lot of leads to do other projects through BMI. So, but I had a company called Balance of Power Music Production back in the 80s. And I had started out as a drummer way back when, and then got into playing bass and guitar and little keyboards and whatnot.
Now,
all at
Mark,
once. It was a mess.
Mark, were you in one of those hair bands? I mean, were you whipping your hair all over, or was it, you know, did you Aquanet yourself, like a whole bottle of Aquanet? What was going on in your band?
Yeah, I think I probably had the Daryl Hall, the John Taylor Duran Duran hair. just shy of Flock of Seagulls type of hair.
Who did?
It was long. Yeah.
It was the best. Are you kidding me? I'm still stuck in the 80s. Every day my husband goes crazy. Every morning I get up 6 o'clock in the morning and I have to put on all my 80s music. And he is a software developer by day and a jazz musician at night. And I hate jazz. I'm just going to put it out there.
Right.
So he has to listen to that damn jazz. And then we fight about this because I want to hear Duran Duran, Flock of Seagulls, you name it. So I.
Oh, yeah.
I dig the 80s band, so I can imagine you were rocking that 80s Aquanet hair, I bet.
Well, you would think, but no, you know, and strangely enough, I didn't do any hair band stuff. I worked with a few bands that were alternative, and I worked with a few bands. One of them was a country band, a country, you know, rock band, and you know, and one that was a heavy metal band. So I mean, I kind of went across the spectrum. But yeah, I had kind of that alternative look with that hair. Yes, I did. I have to admit that.
Now, flash forward from that time. Mm-hmm. What were you doing up until 2014 when you decided to pursue a career as a voiceover artist and actor? What were you doing all that time?
Yeah, so about the mid-90s, I was getting kind of burnt out on doing music. I was looking for something different. I had a younger kid who needed braces, and I thought, God, I music production was great because you'd make a lot of money, and then suddenly there'd be nothing, and then there'd be a lot of money, and then suddenly nothing. And I kind of wanted to do something that was steady. Well, I had a friend that was in a technology company, and he said, hey, look, I need somebody that can put together music, or, plans and projects, and you have a connection similar to our business because you used to produce music, and that was assembling the songwriter and the artist and the engineer, and you'd build a product and you would market it. And that's what he needed. He said, you know, project management is very similar to that. So I got into it, and I got stuck in the corporate world for about 22 years.
And that was a good living, working. The reason I'm asking is because I always like to give people tips of how to, you know, different jobs that are available in the entertainment industry that paid pretty well.
Yeah, it paid great. And I was one of those guys who, it came very natural to me because my work as a producer did lend itself very much to project management. You have a schedule, you have, things you have to do to get a product out the door and marketed. And that's very much like what project management was. So the last 10 years of my corporate career, I worked for a company that sounds a lot like Smell. They make computers. And so I ended up working for them, and I worked from home, and I was blessed, to be able to make a lot of money and work from home and do what I, really wanted to do. And I volunteered at my son's school and all that stuff. So in 2014, I got laid off. Corporate America restructured their company, and I was out of a job. They gave me a severance, and I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do when I grow up. And my son, who was about 10 at the time, said, hey, Dad, you do voices. You always are imitating, the cartoons that I watch. Why don't you go back and do something with your voice? And I thought, God, I didn't even think about doing something creative. And then I realized, I always wanted to do something creative. So I ended up just throwing caution to the wind, taking some time and building my home office into a home studio, and I started doing voice work. And that's what happened.
Well, speaking of voiceover work, let's talk about the voiceover work. First of all, are you union or non-union?
I'm union now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what is your favorite voiceover medium? That would mean narration, ebook, cartoon, superhero, animal. What do you like to do best? Or what do you feel is your forte?
That's a good question, and I think that's something that you have to ask yourself when you get involved in voice is what would you like to do, and what are you really natural at? So I've done narration, I've done half a dozen audiobooks, and I've done voiceover work for training modules. I've also done commercial, voiceover work, and, character-driven animation and things like that, cartoon characters and whatnot. So my favorite medium, I think, is going to would have to be commercial.
And why commercials?
Favorite. Because you have to act in a way that is, you have to take the lines and kind of deconstruct them and tell a story within that 30 seconds or 60 seconds. So that's the challenge for me. I'm not really as comfortable doing cartoon characters or video game, characters. There's a dozen people that I know off the bat that are so much better at it than I am that, I can do it. I don't feel very comfortable, but when I do narration or audiobooks or training modules or conversational type voiceover work, I feel really good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Trevor Jones on, who's a huge voiceover artist, and we had Brett Ratner on.
Yeah.
Vic Mignogna, who's huge apparently in the anime world.
So
they each have their niche, that's voiceover work. I mean, from what I understand, having them on, they just love it so much. If you are if you're pursuing a career as an actor, just to interject here, it is a wonderful career to supplement your income while pursuing a career as a film, television, drama, theater actor, because you can tell them, Mark, you can literally walk in, you book a job, you walk in, 30 minutes, 45 minutes work, and walk out with a great paycheck. Why don't you tell us about how lucrative it is to be a voiceover actor to supplement your income?
It is definitely worthwhile. They usually don't block out more than about 4 hours a day for your voice work. Your voice gets tired after a while, and that's kind of a union block. But you can walk out of there in 45 minutes, an hour. I think maybe 2 hours from beginning to end is a good long time, and walk out of there with quite a bit of money. If they like you, there's a lot of chances of getting repeat business.
And you definitely need to have some money if you come out here or go anywhere actually to become an actor, because you got to pay for headshots, you got to take workshops, you got to take acting classes, and it can get pricey. It is not a career that you should move anywhere for and not have money saved up. And if you get here, you have to have a job to supplement your income. Please don't come on the Greyhound with $50 in your pocket, which I've heard and I see all the time. Do not do it, or you're going to be going right back. You're going to be your ass is going to be hitchhiking back. Now,
I'm going to be a star. Yeah.
Now, what is, for those people who don't know, what is a scratch voiceover?
Well, a scratch voiceover is, from what I don't usually hear that term that much, but a scratch voiceover to me is a practice voiceover. You're going to, kind of a guideline voice track that you're going to lay down.
Okay. Someone tweeted and said, can you ask Mark what a scratch voiceover is? I'm like, okay, I will.
Okay, well, to me, and thank you for the tweet. What I would say is that when I've used the term or heard the term scratch voiceover, you're kind of laying down your first effort to see where, and then working from that. It's like almost like a rehearsal track. We used to have scratch voice in music, and that a scratch track was a track that you were not going to use for your final product, but it helped you build, the rest of the song around it. So that's how I'm familiar with it. But in voice, it's usually scratch usually means practice or rehearsal or throwaway.
Okay, well, that was from Devin from San Diego. So there you go. Mark answered your question.
Devin, my area. Thank you,
yeah,
Devin.
Yeah, your hood. That's Mark Allen's hood. Now, who do you recommend personally for the best voiceover training, and why?
You know, there's the person that I've used for since I got back into voice in the entertainment business. Her name's Beverly Bremers, and she's exceptional because she recognizes what your natural strengths will be, and if you want to try something different, such as character, let's say I want to do voice, I want to do commercials. Well, she'll work with you with using advertisements or the Fearless Flyer from, you know, Trader Joe's, and just say, okay, you know, here you go. Let's hear you read one of these like you're reading a commercial. But she's got great tips and techniques to help you strengthen your voice, and she puts you really at ease. And she's really low key, but she's a very, very good and patient coach. So I would highly recommend her.
Now, is it true that, and I've heard all kinds of stuff about voiceover actors, I heard that most of the jobs that voiceover actors get are by word of mouth, and that it's a little clicky and you got to get into the fold, so to speak. Is that true? And if so, how does one get into the click or the fold, Mark?
You know, I know that there are groups that and when you say click, I understand it to be a group of people that are constantly used for,
right,
you know, projects. There are people that I know and I'm involved with that have a group of voice actors, voice artists that they'll use or they'll go to. It's not necessarily a click, but they like the people. They know they're a known quantity as far as voice goes. They're reliable. They deliver a very good product. So they feel comfortable going back to those people. It goes to that phrase I said, repeat business.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be tough to get in with some of these people. You shouldn't ever give up, and you should keep trying to submit yourself to casting directors and whatnot, and agents that have, you know, a stable of voice people. Just keep working at it while you're, you know, submitting. Just keep you know, working with Butch and craft, and you know, you're going to get that one, you know, opportunity that's going to, you know, bring you into the fold with this casting director or this agent.
Can you tell our listeners about any websites that offer work for voiceover actors? You know, like regular actors, we got Actors Access, you know, LACasting.com. What are the websites where you can search for work for voiceover actors?
Okay, well, there is a handful of them. The one that I think is the most popular, or the one that I use most of the time, is Voice123. And that's a very similar to Actors Access. You set up a profile, you upload your demos of past work or things that you've recorded. You select the range that you would like to be used in. Hey, young adult or a teen or old man, and I do English accents or Texas accents or, you know, whatnot. And when there's a call go out, an audition go out for somebody looking for an old man who does, you know, Southern accent, it will get filtered to me as an invitation to audition. So I think it's a really, really effective way to get audition notices, call notices. And there are others. I think voices.com is one. I think there's a voiceregistry.net. Voice Bank is another one. But I think the top one, I think the one that everybody seems to know about or have used, is Voice123.
Okay, and is that a subscription-based website? Like, you have to pay a monthly fee, with Actors Access? Okay, but you will right? You will get work from it. It's legit.
I've been fortunate enough to get my money back and then some on every site that I've been on. But Voice123 is an annual subscription, I believe. And so, as opposed to Actors Access being, I think it's a, you know, once a month charge. But yeah, they're all subscription based services. I mean, I think that's just the industry, entertainment industry in general.
It's standard. People right. who are new to the business, they get scared because they think everyone's trying to rip them off. Which most of the time you are possibly being ripped off. But when, you know, you got to do your research. People look them up. Google. Everything you need to know in the world is on Google. There is no reason for you to not know something. I'm talking anything.
Absolutely.
So let's, it's that time, Mark. We're going to hear Mark Allen. We're going to hear your demo tape. Now, you sent me a voiceover reel for a zombie demo. So can you set us up? Can you intro this voiceover that we're about to hear of your work?
Well, yeah, sure. This is something I did just before, I started getting into roadies back in the springtime. It's a zombie game, video game that's coming out. I think it's Zombie Attacks, or I can't remember the exact name of it. I'm sorry, whoever is listening out there that's working on the video game. But it was a trailer that we did for it, and they needed two different voices. One was a newscaster type voice, reporter. I did that. And then the other was kind of an older scientist who came originally from England but has lived over here. And he was the scientist trying to figure the cure, discover the cure for this zombie outbreak. So that's what I did. It's the most recent thing I've done. And, you know, it's pretty polished. I'm looking forward to doing a little bit more in it. There's talk about doing some more work, but that's what I have.
Okay. And my audience, I apologize for that cough. I'm sucking on a cough drop, and I didn't get to hit the mute button, and I just coughed in your ear. I apologize, people. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling Mark in the beginning before we're on air, now make sure any bodily or ungodly, unholy sounds are not recorded. And here I'm like, oh, my Lord. Okay. So without any further ado, let's listen to Mark Allen. Voiceover, and what should we call it? Your zombie demo reel? Should we call it that?
It's a zombie video game demo.
Okay, so let's hear Mark Allen's zombie demo reel.
Panic was extreme in the first days. Many tried to get out of the city, but most were too late. Now, hundreds of thousands have been killed or reported missing, and in just a few weeks, Stockholm, once the most peaceful city in the world, has become a wasteland filled by evil.
This was no drug nor terrorist attack as everybody believed. It spreads like a disease. It's something entirely new. We managed to capture one of the creatures and could pull DNA to research. It was like something we've never seen before. Nothing even remotely on the books. The DNA had profoundly changed its behavior.
And unfortunately, these creatures are superior killing machines. Like they came from hell itself.
I believe evolution has finally caught up with us. And if we don't figure this one out, I'm afraid the human race will stand no chance in this fight.
Fall back! Fall back!
No, we can't hold the defense much longer!
Woo! I think there is a Mr. Don LaFontaine in the mix here. Wow, that was really good. Oh, my God.
That was fun.
that. Well, isn't it great to listen to you work and you probably remember where you were and all
those
intricate details that are so fun. Now, of course, most people know the voiceover work of the late great voiceover actor, Mr. Don LaFontaine. If you don't know him by name, you would recognize him. Now, I cannot do the voiceover in a world. Was it in a world?
In a world. Yes.
Yeah.
In a world where we talk on the radio.
Yes, yes. You knew when you heard that voice. You knew that was Don LaFontaine. You didn't know his name, but you're like, oh, and you knew him. And you would stop in your tracks to listen to that man, no matter what he said. In my opinion, Don LaFontaine, his legacy just remains the inspiration and aspiration, I would think, of most voiceover actors. There was nothing LaFontaine couldn't do in this realm, and he did it with such grace and ease that drew people to him. I was very fortunate to meet him before he passed. Oh my God, he was so amazing to just be near. And he just created this style in which movie trailers are performed to this day. I mean, actors still, voiceover actors still measure themselves by how well they can imitate Don's famous line in World, right? And Don's legacy inspired veteran voice actors like Paul Pape and Joe Cipriano. And did you know, I'm assuming you do know this, they have created a Don LaFontaine voiceover lab. It is a state-of-the-art facility. And what you people want to know who want to pursue a career like Mark is, they offer free services to advance the voiceover industry. And do you know anything about it? Is there anything you can tell us about the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab?
Well, you know, I haven't been there yet. I've had a friend that did some work at the lab. It's tied in with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. And I think it's in their actual studio, their building. And
On Wilshire Boulevard.
Yeah, Wilshire Boulevard. And I from what I've heard, you contact SAG or you go to their website. There's information on it.
There is a waiting list, people, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's...
So, you know, go
right, there's not five. There's not five people. There's probably 500 people waiting.
Yeah, 500.
You know, but it's worth it. Right, but it's worth it.
It is, and they've got top trainers there, so I would definitely check it out. I mean, it can't hurt to be on a waiting list. Now, Mark, what I feel is happening is that I am seeing so many, you know, work in general in the industry. It's very hard to get. You really got to be on top. Game. What I'm seeing is there are so many A-list celebrities doing voiceover work now when they avoided it like the plague before, and the jobs are so scarce as there is, and they come in, and of course you definitely want to get an A-list actor. You know, I hate to categorize it, but that's just what they call it in this town. They broke the poor actors down by A-list, B-list, C-list. I think there's even a D-list. And as Kathy Griffin likes to say, she's on the F-list. Okay, so have you personally experienced any work that or know anyone that maybe lost a job because of an A-list celebrity getting the work? Or is that something that you guys talk about, like, darn, I wish that there was more work for us?
Yeah, I it's one of the things that I've tried to do is not dwell on the jobs that I don't get. But yes, I know of one that I was going out for that was Jet.com, I think it was. And they wanted me to do kind of an Alec Baldwin sounding read through of it, and they loved it. They brought me back, and they're getting ready to do it, and I think they ended up getting Alec Baldwin for it. But it was like okay, well, you could have just gotten them. They decided to open the purse strings. They do have a lot of people that will you know, you can do sound alike. You know, they don't want to spend the money for an A-lister. That's the other side of the coin there, is that, yeah, they can get A-listers, and you might lose out on a job for that. to somebody like, you know, Matthew McConaughey or whatever. But a lot of times they'll also go for people who sound like Matthew McConaughey or Alec Baldwin or somebody.
Mark, I just can't get over Matthew McConaughey driving around in that damn car doing a commercial as if that man doesn't have enough damn money, like millions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not only him, but these other A-list actors. I mean, Johnny Depp, come on now. What do you need to be? He doesn't even wear cologne in real life because I know Johnny Depp. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, now let's move on. Okay, so for people that are hiring voiceover actors, because I have a ton of people that work in the entertainment industry and a lot of people get cast or get auditions from my show. So if somebody is looking to hire a voiceover actor and they're listening to your interview right now and you haven't worked on their project, why would they choose you over another voiceover actor to bring in for an audition? What do you feel that you bring to the table that may be unique over, obviously, your voiceover talent? What can you offer?
Well, that's a very good question. My strength has always been improvisation, or the ability to give the casting director multiple angles for a voice read. So my versatility as far as the way I read, but also different styles. They say, now let's change this up. We need somebody with a Southern accent, or we need it to be more upbeat here and low key down here. Adaptability and versatility and improv. That's my strength.
Okay. That's a good answer. Yeah. Improv. Because
wow. That was a good question.
Yeah, a lot of voiceover actors, they're like, okay, I do cartoon, I do animal cartoon, I do baby voices, but the more I think Mark would agree, the more you open yourself up to different styles of voiceover, like maybe you want to do like a little cartoon. Doesn't mean you have to master it if you don't want to, but right, maybe you can do, you know, have a little cartoon voice, create a little character, you know, maybe have a horror voice, maybe try to do a Don LaFontaine. I would think that as many styles as you have in your little tool chest, the better, right, Mark?
You know, that's absolutely spot on. I think you go into it thinking, you know, I want to do cartoon characters. I can do them. But then, you know, you do it a little bit and you don't realize that there are so many other aspects of voice that you can get into. Try them all. Just try them out. And maybe you'll discover that, hey, you know what? I can do audiobooks. They have characters in them. I could do that. Or, hey, you know what, there's, you know, exciting PSAs that I can do for people. And, you know, you start realizing there are other aspects of your own personal strengths that you haven't tapped into yet. And then there's some that you go, wow, I really thought I could do voice, you know, for cartoons, but I'm not getting it.
Right.
But at least you tried them all.
Right. You may like it, but that doesn't mean you can necessarily do it. It's just like, hey, I love watching film and I watch people and I think, oh, I can do that. And then you try acting, your ass is going to be in for a surprise. Because the easier it looks, the harder it is. Let me just tell you. Now, Mark, let's tell the people how hard. Now, you wouldn't think this. For those of you who've listened to narration or ebooks or any kind of audio tapes, you think, oh, wow, that's so easy. I could do that. How hard is it to do a period piece audiobook?
It's extremely difficult. A period piece? Like what?
Sense and Sensibility.
Oh yeah, I did one called The Religion of Robert Burns, and it's a Scottish poet, Robert Burns. And so luckily this wasn't a full novel, but it was a half novel, so it was still, you know an hour and a half of listening. You know, the reader gets an hour and a half or something like that. It's very tough because you have to, you know, you might have multiple characters in the audiobook that you have to create. And when you create these characters, you got to make sure that they're consistent throughout the audiobook. So you have to create little files and create characters that you know, think fit and keep those organized. And, you know, tell the story in a way that people are going to want to listen, because just reading the story, this is how this, you know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, kind of a, you know, flat style is going to be boring and nobody's going to want to listen to it. So you have to be, it's a performance in a way, yeah, that you're giving to people.
You are being an actor. It's not just reading what's on, what's in the script. You have to act it out, but not act it out to the point where you're, you know, you sound like a nut and you're having your own soliloquy and dramatic moments. You can't go that far. Right. You have to know what the balance is, and it has to all fit seamlessly.
Right.
It's an art form to be a narrator. It really is, and people don't think twice about that, but it also pays very well. It's a lucrative job. It's very hard, and right, it takes a very skilled person to do ebooks and to be narrator. So consider that, right, also, people, as a possible job. Now, sure, we had talked earlier about how you are a member of the union, and
yes,
it is very, 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 very difficult for me to walk the fine line between union and non-union, because I've had people on who weren't union voiceover actors and non-union, and they both have their pros and cons. Now, when you first start out, obviously you're going to be doing non-union work, and right, your goal should always be to work up to be able to be accepted by the union, because the union covers you. They provide safety for you. It's a level of professionalism that you should aspire to. But when you first start out, there is nothing wrong with doing non-union work. There is a lot of non-union work that is available. You can get it and build up your resume, but please aspire to eventually join the union. So again, if you're starting out as a voiceover actor, you can get non-union work on short films, maybe web series. So I don't know if that is on The Voice 123. You would know more than I, but do
yes,
they offer yes, that on Voice 123 as well?
Yes, there, and it's it, like acting, there is a ton of non-union work. And so you're looking at a lot more non-union work for lower price, lower cost, and lower rates for you. But you know, the reason why I joined the union was exactly what you said, you know, for the protection and whatnot. And everybody has their own journey. I respect that. But I joined for the reasons that you talked about.
Absolutely.
And now it tends to be more quality over quantity.
Yeah.
The rates are better. I don't have as many jobs,
but you're getting quality work. You cut out there.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you're still. Now, we only have we only have 2 minutes, and I want to get this in because I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. So you have a recurring role on Showtime's new series, Roadies. Tell us what Roadies is. What is it about, and what do you do?
Okay, so it's about Roadies was created by Cameron Crowe and J.J. Abrams, and it's also produced by Winnie Holtzman, who did My So-Called Life. So Cameron writes and directs most of the work. It's about a fictional band out of Denver called the Staten House Band. Luke Wilson and Carla Gugino and Rafe Spall are all part of the cast. They're running the either the tour or the band, and it's not about the band, it's about the people who put the show together, and those are the Roadies, and it's just a fantastic experience to work with Cameron for as long as I have. We've been doing this since March 15th. We actually wrap up on Tuesday, the final episode, but it airs on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock on Showtime. And I'm really, really proud. It's like a bucket list thing for me.
I saw on one of your Twitter posts that Rainn Wilson was on there as a guest from The Office. How cool was it to work with that? Oh, my God. He is so brilliant.
He's on tonight. It's going to be one of the funniest episodes of the series and of a show in general. He was brilliant. Lindsey Buckingham's on there tonight. He's also the guest musician. And we have people that will be guesting that will just blow you away. That I can't really talk about, but there are A-list musicians, if there is such a thing.
For next season, right? Who were some of the guests for the first season, right? Isn't it the first season?
Season one? For the first season.
Are you wrapping on season one, or is this season two for tonight?
We're wrapping on season one this Tuesday. It's the last day.
And for those who don't know, just maybe, you know, Rainn Wilson, obviously. Who else, real quick, was on Roadies for season one?
The stars are Luke Wilson and Carla Gugino and Rafe Spall, who was in Life of Pi. We have Peter Camber, Imogen Poots, Keisha Hughes, who's on Game of Thrones as well. Those are the main people. We have Luis Guzman that's guested.
I love him.
Rosanna Arquette. We have just a ton of people that want to work with Cameron.
Who wouldn't want to work with Cameron? My God,
we've had the Heart and the Hand band. We've had Rainn Wolf. There is quite a few other bands. Lucius is going to be on the show. Jackson Brown, and there's a bunch of people that will be popping up throughout the season.
And where can we see you, my gorgeous Mark Allen?
You can see us on Showtime or Showtime on Demand. That's the way to get it. I know that they might be airing it on YouTube the following couple days after it's been aired.
Okay. And we want to watch your podcast, A Couple Regular Guys. Is that your podcast?
Right.
Or
yes, buddy of mine. Yeah, it's available on iTunes. We are going to be starting up season two of that at the end of August. So we're wrapped for season one, and we're looking forward to getting started. It's just it's a couple of guys talking really about nothing. So
I love that.
That's easy to do,
especially if you're playing strip poker. Maybe you could add that segment in there just for me, Mark, because I have been having fantasies of you in a pair of 70 shorts and a halter.
Excellent. Dress.
But that's for the next show, right, Mark?
Right, exactly.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show. Thank you for sharing all of your wisdom about your wonderful career. We are going to watch you on Roadies on Showtime, which airs tonight at 10 o'clock. And I wish you all the best. And please come back on the show next year. I would love to find out what's going on with you.
I certainly will. Thanks for having me, Priscilla. It's been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Dan Lasky, for booking this little hottie. You got to get me a bunch of more guys that look like Mark Allen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Go to markallen.net, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Say goodbye to your fans, Mark.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I should have had you do that in a special voice. Damn! Next time. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.